Blog Talk Radio.
Indiana, and we believe
that God is in control of any and all things. We welcome you tonight as we have completed 1 year of podcast with the Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters. We thank them for allowing us to continue to come on the air to petition God on your behalf and just to talk about those things that God has placed in our hearts and in our minds so that we can share those things with you. We are coming from the Warriors for Christ, or we represent the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International Ministries, as well as Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries. And my partner in crime is none other than Prophet Corey Braddock.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm so glad that we are here again. God is so faithful. God is so able. And in the midst of this, we'd like to thank the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders. And we just want to make sure that we let you guys know that we continue to thank God for you and how much you've been a blessing to us. Yes, I do represent the Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries, founder of Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries, and we just thank God for this opportunity. We are here because we believe that so we just thank God that we're here given one more opportunity to go forth on behalf of Jesus Christ, that we could bring to you what the Lord has laid on our hearts. And I just thank God that you guys are continuing to be here with us, sharing in what the Lord has placed on our hearts. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Now, we recognize that you need to know a little bit about us. You know, you've been with us for a little bit, but in case this is your first night, we also want to acknowledge the Living Way Christian Center and our covering, Apostle Leonard Emmons. Well, that's where we're broadcast from on tonight, and we have been for some time, been so gracious in allowing us to broadcast from here, as well as to support us and to encourage us. And we thank all of the intercessors that have been praying on our behalf, all of the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders. We do ask that you would pray with us, open thy mind eye, that I may behold, the wondrous things out of thy law. That's Psalms 119 and verse 18, basically asking God to help us, to prepare, keep us, and put us in a position to understand what it is that we're going to hear, what it is we're going to participate in on tonight. Amen, amen, and amen. We thank God because the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International, as well as Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry, we believe that failure is not an option.
Hallelujah.
You know, we believe that because God has just given us so many different scriptures. He's proven himself time and time again. Because we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we believe that all things will be added unto us.
Amen.
We try not to lean to our own understanding by trusting in the Lord with all our heart.
Amen.
We believe that as we do that, there's so many wonderful things are going to happen. We believe that as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth, that he's going to lead and direct us into all things. We believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we also know that as we ask, because we'll be talking about that a little bit further in the conversation, because in our prayer, prayer is so simple. It's really asking God, talking to God, just having a communication with him. And he gave us a three-letter word that really sums up the whole of his being, who he is, and our access or ability to talk to him. You said ask. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse. To ask and it shall. It shall be, shall be, shall be, which means as soon as you ask, you got access to shall. That's pretty good, ain't it? Ask and it shall be given unto you. That means, and then it says seek, which is the second letter, begins with an S. Seek and ye shall find. Sometimes you got to go looking for some stuff. That's studying to show yourself approved unto God is about. And then he says, knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Real bad kid. How many mothers and fathers, when you knock on their door, won't open the door? And we do believe in the fathering system, because that's what God left here on the earth. It's a fivefold ministry. He left the same system that he had with his son. The son came to the father and asked questions. Yeah. Every time the son went to the father, he prayed.
Amen.
And when he prayed, the father heard him.
Yeah.
He sometimes asked questions.
Yeah.
And you need to know that you can ask your God some questions. It doesn't matter what you think wrong, you can ask. So ask, seek, and knock. In other words, look for God in every place that you go. Look for him everywhere that you can look. Look up in the closet and look for him. Look on the ground where the insects are and look for him. Look around you and see your brothers and your sisters.
Yeah.
Because God said that if you can't love those that are around you, those that you see every day, how can you tell a lie and say that you love me? Now, I put the lie part in, but that's basically interpreting. You know, how can you love me whom you can't see? But yet, I put all my love and everything in your sight. Every day around you, and you can't see it. I got earlier this week. I got kind of beat up a little bit spiritually, but it was a good thing. See, it's a good thing to know that you're not infallible, and that you make mistakes, and that you can be corrected just like anybody else. It doesn't matter, you know. Okay, big old whoopie doo. I'm Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Rich. But I'm somebody's son, I'm somebody's brother, I'm somebody's uncle, I'm somebody's cousin, I'm somebody's confidant, I'm somebody's man. And people look at you according to who you are in a certain way. It doesn't matter who you are. But you have to put yourself in a position to be able to be honorable so that you represent, because you do represent God, especially those of us that are doing kingdom work. And so I admonish to be mindful that you are doing kingdom work. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you is you go through a year, just you get too busy. You get too busy for your own britches. And you allow some things to be neglected. Not that you do it on purpose. It's just your priorities shift. And all of us go through a time in life where our priorities shift. And so I want to share with you before we really get too started tonight is that work on your relationships. Work on your relationships. Often when we talk, when we preach, when we give out revelation, whatever it is that we talk about, believe me, it cuts us first. Don't think that we browbeating anyone, because I almost really couldn't handle the admonition that I got because I didn't feel that I was in denial, and it wasn't that river that's in Egypt. And so I had to do some repenting, and I had to do some soul searching. I had to talk to my father, and I had to find a way to reconcile and to put myself in a position to humble myself enough to be able to go and to fix or strengthen or work on my relationship. So I share that with you because I'm sure I'm not the only one that affects, A-F-F-E-C-T-S. Put yourself in a position always to reconcile and work on your relationships. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now we won't be doing some praying today. We got a lot of things to pray about. We want to go back over some of the things that God gave us in our. We're speaking of being with you for a year. God really blessed us through this year. We have some wonderful subjects, but you know, sometimes God send you back to the beginning. He send you back to the basics. He in the scriptures, it talks about going back to your first love. And, you know, God, when going back to your first love, when you first became a Christian or you first learned about Jesus, and you was straight up in love, you know what I mean? You got this revelation, the light bulb came on, you was just high. You was higher than you ever been before. You walked up to the front of the church or wherever it was that you first received your revelation. It could have been a church or it could have been on the street. You know, it could have been in a prison cell. But when you looked up and you saw that glorious light of Christ, and it began to just illuminate in your life, that's an experience that you always look for again. And so I get very angry when our ministers, those that's in the fivefold, don't remember to go back there. When they don't remember to remember, it's not about them. It's about him. It's about J-E-S-U-S, you know. It's about Emmanuel, you know. It's about the one that stepped into our lives when then nobody wanted no part of us. It's about the one that forgave us of our sins. It's about the one that delivered us from unrighteousness and brought us into a sense of righteousness. It's about the one that has declared and decreed that we are his. He's the one that's given us the ability to have life after death.
Amen.
And so I'm not going to hog all this because the man of God is chomping at the bit. And I'm just going to pass off for a second. Amen.
Amen. Man, it's a wonderful thing to get back to your first love. God says often that he gets irritated with the fact that we haven't gone back to our first estate. It's an awesome thing when you can just go back to what it was when you started, when you were, as we like to say, on fire for God. What that simply means is you got so excited when you first got saved that there was nothing more important than your relationship with God. There was nothing more important than spending time with God, spending time in the Bible, spending time in prayer, you know. It was nothing more important than that, and God be praised. Every now and then, we need to get back to the place that the fire got ignited. And so, there are some things, you know, being that that we have reached a year, we just want to, you know, we want to get back to the basics of how to fight this fight, how to walk this walk, how to run this race, whatever cliche you want to use, we want to get back to that, to the starting point of what this ministry program, this service provides to you, the believer, and what this service hopes and desires to provide to you who may not yet be a believer. So that's our intention. You know, we want to get down to the nitty-gritty. We want to expose the enemy for who he is. We want to expose the enemy for who he is, and we want to show God for who he is. And that's just our mission. You know, that's our mission here at the Warfare Hour, to expose the enemy and to show forth the power of God, even in prayer, in our study, in righteously, rightly dividing the word of truth with the right heart, doing it with God's approval. Amen. It's been an awesome time. Even in the short time that I've been here with the Warfare Hour, I have really, really achieved a newfound admiration just for God. And I believe that those of us who have been hearing the Warfare Hour or who have been participating with the Warfare Hour have really just, I'm hoping that with me, you have found a new admiration for God the Father. And we just thank God that you have been here with us, and we want to get down to business. So, Apostle, I really ain't got much else to say except let's get to work.
Amen. If you would turn to Matthew the fifth chapter and verse 16. These are familiar scriptures. It may be one or two that might get by you, but this is a familiar scripture. That's why we opened up in the way that we did. As I said, God wants us to, as we work on our relationships, you know, we will remember that it ain't about us. I heard, I talked about last week, you know, how the commander in chief said that he kind of alluded to that when people are going through some problems, it's personal to him. Well, that's a little different. He, you know, is the leader of a nation. He's trying to share with you that he's not just, you're not a number to him. I believe what he was trying to say was that all of those idiosyncrasies and things that another person might overlook is personal with him, because he kind of been there, done that, been through some stuff. And so we have to remember, as men and women of God, and this is not no political thing, believe me, I'm struggling myself with who it is I'm going to vote for in a few months. So believe me, I'm not pushing anything. I'm just talking about current events and what everybody was watching, the Republicans and the Democrats last week. But I'll say this here. Shame on you if you don't ask God who you're supposed to be voting for in any election. Enough said on that. But we are on Matthew, the fifth chapter, and we're going to deal with verse 16. See, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
You read that to Amp?
Oh, yes, please. It says, let your light so shine before men that they see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. We're going to talk about light. We're going to talk about light for a minute. The man of God's chomping at the bit, so I better give it back up.
Amen, amen. Listen, we have been going through some things and studying these scriptures, because we want to give you some awesome things to take notes with. So if you haven't already done so, get your pen, get your paper, get your tablets, get your laptops, whatever you take notes with, whatever you write with or whatever, go ahead and do it, because we're going to give you some information so that we can help in this fight, help with your training in this fight. Listen, light. Can I give you a couple of, because this is all about our weapons of warfare. This is all about the weapons of warfare. We know about the weapons in Ephesians chapter 6, but we're going to give you some weapons that aren't in Ephesians chapter 6. We want to give you some weapons that are not as magnified, some things that might not be as obvious to us as others. So let me give you a quick couple of definitions, and then I'm gonna give it right back to the man of God so that he can give you what the Lord has laid on his heart, because I know he's got some awesome revelation to bring out. But listen, light. We're talking about light, and through a couple of definitions, light is God, his truth, his power of regeneration, his renewal and transformation. Light is the word of God specifically, because that light is knowledge. Knowledge and light are synonymous biblically, because when you are given knowledge, you are what we call enlightened. That's enlightened, enlightened. So that's what the word enlightened means. It means to be made to be given knowledge. So light is the word of God. The word of God brings knowledge to you that you might not have had about him, that helps you realize some potential that you might not have known you had previously, prior to being given that knowledge of God's word. Listen, last one, it says light also signifies the creative powers of God, either at work or employed to produce, perform, or grow. Jesus specifically said, I am the light of the world. It guides, light guides. It guides the way. It pierces the darkness and provides visibility for traveling, working, or socializing. Light is useful for growing, reflecting, and protecting. Okay? Psalms 119 to 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It guides. The word of God guides. It's light. Not a light, but it is light. So I just want you to understand that real quickly, some definitions. And if I know I'm going kind of fast, but I want to get it back to the man of God so he can give you what the Lord has placed on his heart. So if I've gone too fast for you, just do me a favor. Go come back on tomorrow and check out the podcast on Kingdom Builders, blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. Let's give it over to the man of God.
Amen. Now, again, basically, God started it all with light. The first scripture in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And verse 3, the first thing that God did was declared and decreed. And he said, God himself said, let there be light. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. Then he began to name the light. Hallelujah. Think about what I just said. God said, let there be light. And there was light. It all started with a declaration. The scripture that we read, Matthew 5:16 said, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine.
Amen.
God placed it. He made it in us. We always talk about being God. You know, that's one of the things we talk about here on this podcast, because we believe what Psalms 82 speaks of. Psalms 82 says, I have said ye are gods in one of the verses. But it refers back to this first chapter here in Genesis, verse 26, when God was still doing creating. He created man in his image and in his likeness. And as he made man in his image and in his likeness, he gave man the ability to declare and to decree. One of the first things that Adam did was name. He declared and decreed the name, just like God did. God began to name the light, and he separated the light from the darkness. He made one light to govern the day and another light to govern the night. We call it the sun and the moon. Scientists want to say, well, it's a reflection of the sun and the moon. But all, if you look at everything that happens in the cycle of man, those two lights are involved. When you talk about evil, people want to talk about, it's a full moon, which means everything's going to happen. And let me share this with you, since we're talking about the light, because I got a scripture that I want to read after this, and I'm passed back off to the man of God. We always try to talk about current events and things that's happening around us. And here in a city near us, we had a hate crime. And again, some people would not call it a hate crime. They would say something else. But just as we've overcome so many things in the world before, a young couple in the city of Portage, Indiana, woke up to find a cross burning in their yard. They happen to be African-American. Wonderful. They've been living in the area for 7 years, so it's not like they were new, or it's not like the people in the neighborhood didn't like them or whatever. And it happened on Tuesday, which was the anniversary of 9-1-1. And I'm saying that to say this. The enemy always wants to, the darkness always wants to, let me go back to that. The enemy, the darkness, always wants to raise his head. This is the time of the year that he thinks he's in control. Because next month in October, that's one of his strongest months. And so he done already started with this shenanigan. If you've been watching the news all over the all over the world, some Americans got killed. One of the ambassadors to, I believe, Libya got killed, and some other Americans. Now, don't get me wrong. Folks are dying every day in every city. I'm just talking about what's happening during this season. We're talking about light and letting our light so shine. There is death in the camp. There is death in warfare. Some of us are going to have to stand up and be counted. That's where the word martyr came from, which means some of them died. Matter of fact, it is the only time you hear martyr is specific to going to bat for Christ. And this is the warfare hour. So we're teaching you, or would like to share some teachings that we've had concerning how to recognize those pitfalls and those things that are happening to you in season and out of season. We're going to be talking about decent and in order, what that truly means, not what we hear that it means. But, you know, it's just, so we're talking about light right now. The first thing that God declared and decreed, and is a weapon of warfare. If he started with the strongest weapon of warfare, it's light. The man of God just read to you some different definitions of light. He said about the word. John, the first chapter, and the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, he also explained to you a few minutes ago about light and the Word are synonymous, and knowledge and light are synonymous. We ought to get knowledge, wisdom, understanding. All three of them are tied in together. And so when we speak of light, we're speaking of putting yourself in a position to declare the strength that God gave us. God gave, as I said, Adam, the first thing that he did was declare and decree, just like his daddy did. He named all of the animals. And I've often talked about, hey, just try to name 50 animals just off the top of your head. Even if you tried to do it alphabetically, you do good to get through about 30 or 40. And he named every single one. That means insects. But see, he doesn't really say, but he named the plant. He named everything on the earth. He named it. Whatever he called it, that's what it is, even on today. Amen. The next word that's of strength that we feel is key to talk about today is salt. Colossians, the fourth chapter and verse 6. Colossians, the fourth chapter and verse 6. And I'm reading out of the King James. You know that's unusual for me. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Lord have mercy.
Lord.
Y'all notice how I said that, Lord, L-A-W-D, have mercy. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. We're going to read that in the Amplified, and then we're going to let the man of God expound.
Amen. Same verse, Colossians 4:6 in the Amplified reads, let your speech at all times be gracious, pleasant, and winsome, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may never be at a loss to know how you ought to answer anyone who puts a question to you. Listen, quick couple of things about salt. Salt is a symbol of the enduring. Symbol of enduring. It's a symbol of eternity, if you will. It's a symbol of purity. Listen, let me not get past enduring because enduring is so much. It's a symbol of enduring. It's a symbol of lasting, longevity. It's a symbol of fortitude. It's a symbol of stability. That's what salt is. And that's just dealing with the whole enduring thing. We're not even a percentage of the way through. It's just the fact that it's a symbol of the enduring, the pure, and covenant. That's what we deal with salt. We deal with covenant. Salt is a symbol of covenant. Let me tell you why. Salt was used for purification and protection in old times. You know, in not just in the Bible times, but back in the days of our grandmothers and great grandmothers and so forth, salt was a symbol, or salt was used for purification and protection. You know, salt served well as hospitality, or as a symbol of hospitality, a symbol of friendship, a symbol of incorruptible figures, like a pillar, if you will. And I'm not talking about Lot's wife. You know my love wife. That pillar of salt. No. I'm talking about the endurance. Okay, Jesus. The endurance of purity and integrity. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about the enduring or being a pillar, okay, or being incorruptible. It has a preservative character. I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna get back. I'm gonna let the man of God deal with this. It deals in so many ways. I'm gonna give you this real quick. Salt is on the planet for these reasons. Primarily, medicinal, culinary, preservative, covenantal, and symbolic. Now, I'm gonna go through this real quick. Now, you gotta keep up with me. Like I said, you can go back on blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International so that you can get this one. Look up under Apostle Carson Earl Clark Richardson so that you can find this. Listen, it's medicinal. Uses were including healing and purgative or purging. It's a purging. It has purging properties. Has, in other words, purging is to get rid of or to flush out something. Okay, its culinary value is as a seasoning in recipes and a preservative to prevent spoilage. So when Jesus Christ said that you are the salt of the earth, he's saying that you were created to preserve the earth. You were created to season and preserve, or to give the earth flavor and to preserve it, to keep it from spoiling or being destroyed. It's covenantal. Okay. Its covenantal use relates its use to ceremonies and ritual observances involving a religion. All sacrificial food items were to be rubbed with salt for flavor and preservation, again, so that it would not spoil. Not only the sacrifice of God, but we are the salt of the earth. So those who feel that they're being sacrificed, our job is to make sure that they're preserved. How do you preserve them? You give them Christ. That's how you preserve them. You give them Christ. You the salt, but you got to give them the light. Catch that. Catch that when you re-listen to the podcast. Listen, last one, symbolically, salt in its early times in Bible regions was rare. It became a priceless commodity. Listen to how God is describing you when Jesus says you're the salt of the earth. Listen to this now. It became a priceless commodity. Thus, anytime critical alliances or agreements were forged, salt became the symbol of their durability and perpetuity, or longevity, the long-lasting savor or preservation thereof. Hence, the Lord's use of salt to parallel his covenant with the new creation church, that is us, becomes evident. He wanted to convey the church's role as a diverse seasoning in the world that typified his lasting covenant with it as long as it did. So it being the church. So as long as we remain in covenant with Christ, we remain the key ingredient to preserving this earth.
Amen. I pray that we're not moving too fast in certain areas. We got to get some information out.
to you, but salt is who we are. Those of us that are in the fivefold ministry, God left us here as a preservative to spell out, to declare, to decree those things that he left on the earth. The Dead Sea Scrolls was the precursor to the Bible that we have now, basic instruction before leaving earth.
Ephesians, the 4th chapter and verse 11, tells us, again, I'm reading out of the King James. Like I say, I know y'all saying, what? You mean out of King James? Because, you know, I love my Amplified. But then it says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the salt. He gave some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, some prophets, and some apostles for what? For salt. What is salt? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long is that supposed to? We got to continue doing, rubbing that salt into the wound, preserving the men and women of God, the men and women, the boys and girls of God, until we all, see, he left a standard. See, and this standard is different than any other standard. A standard is a flag or a banner that tells you or it declares something. The flag of countries has different colors and symbols on the flag or on the standard to signify the strength or the regal authority or regalia of that particular nation. But here says, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. The salt is to preserve the faith that once you get a hold or you hear about the light, once you get a hold of the light, because the light gives you faith, and of the knowledge of the light, which is the Son of God, unto a perfect man. He was a perfect man. He was a perfect man like Adam was. Remember the declaration and decrees that we've been declaring for the last three or four weeks. One of the first ones says, I am blessed, as Adam was before the fall. Adam was a perfect man before the fall. And then the second declaration is, I am blessed as Abraham was. Because, see, Abraham was the father of many nations. It was a covenant. Remember he said that this is a covenantal thing. You know, now Abraham was promised that he would be the father of many nations and that something was going to come from his seed. And the light that we're speaking of, the covenantal grace that we're speaking of, came from the seed of Abraham, as promised by the same person that spoke the light into existence in the beginning before he created man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it says in verse 13, the son of knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So God has left the fivefold ministry be on the earth as the salt. So men, women, boys, and girls that are professing to be pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles. God left us as the salt in the earth. Gave us a charge of what to do with ourselves as the salt. He left us here to edify him as well as ourselves being the church. Did not the man of God just share with you how the church had to be glorified? The church has to be glorified so that God can be glorified. In the beginning of our conversation, we said, make sure that, let your light so shine that, that what? Men? May see your good works. We also been talking about that we're going to have favor among men, among God and men, you know, which was the rest of the scriptures that went along with the declaration. We need to pay attention to everything that we do. So relationships, I talked about working on our relationships, dealing with our relationships. Our relationships should all be handled with God. First and foremost, for God is love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved. We don't really have to go any further. I don't say, oh, you're being blasphemous, because the rest of it is what counts. But we're still talking about that. God, for God so loved, he loved first. He loved, so then he had to do something with that love. He had to declare that love. He had to decree that love, and he had to do something with that love. He didn't want that love to stay just on him. The man of God is, come on, man of God.
Yeah, you started some stuff with that one. Because not only do we deal with John 3:16, God so loved. Listen. You add that to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love. Because perfect love casts out fear. So God loved us so much, and God's love is perfect because God is love.
Is that why failure is not an option?
That's why failure ain't an option, because there's no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear. So what does that mean? God casts out fear because God is love, and love is of God. So therefore, it casts out fear. So basically what happened when Jesus came to the cross and did his work on the cross, what he did was cast out the fear of condemnation on the earth for them who believe on his name. That's why Romans chapter 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk, in other words, if you seek it after God, and you desire the will of God, the presence of God, the love of God, you desire not fear. That's why 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So your stability is in the love of God. That's why love is such a powerful weapon. I'm through. I'm trying to tell you. It's that simple. Love is one of the most awesome weapons, because love can kill some evil.
Listen, go, man of God. You know, we got a couple of more words that we that's really going to Now, these are, bear in mind, these are weapons that we're speaking of. We're still talking about salt. we're just talking about salt and what salt is. Because as a matter of fact, the last two words that solidify through the weapons of warfare is truth
and love.
I mean, you can see how they all tie in one to another. For truth, we're going to turn to Ephesians 4th chapter, verse 15, and we pray that you following along with us, and then we pray that you're having a good time on tonight.
Yeah.
Go Bears! Hey, you know, we right next to Chicago, and for all you Wisconsin people, we know that you know you're Green Bay fans, and a little bit friendly competition going on here. All in love, the Bears. Okay. We're talking about truth now, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and verse 15. And it says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Can we read that? Okay, let's go to verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Okay. Okay, let me stop there because I'm going to go back over this. Remember now, we just talked about being the salt. Actually, we went through verse 13. And you know, sometimes you don't even look at, you just kind of cut off where you are and go about your business. But the reason that, as we say, everything ties in one to another. Us being the salt ties into the truth. And when you say in verse 14, the reason that we want to be truthful and know that the truth is verse 15, is because of verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, now that wind of doctrine is, and unfortunately, all of us have been under the wind of doctrine. When God began to speak to me concerning the kingdom walk that I now understand, I had to do some serious soul searching because I was not corrupted, but I was influenced by some wind of doctrine. I didn't want to believe some things, and I didn't want to surrender what I believed and what I had heard. That's what wind of doctrine is. Wind has to do with hearing. Doctrine has to do with teaching. But where is the teaching coming from? And what did you verify?
Amen. Amen.
What did you verify? Did you study? Did you study? Did you check it out, or did you just go for it? And I hate to say it, but there's a great majority of us that just kind of went by what we heard because there was a scripture that said, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The part that we missed was the word of God. The word of God is something that we needed to study ourselves because God declared and he decreed that it's our own responsibility to work out our own soul salvation. No man can go to the Father for you and receive salvation. You must. That is two things that you're gonna end up doing with God. Mama can't do nothing about it. Daddy can't do nothing about it. Your wife can't do nothing about it. Your son can't do nothing about it. Your husband can't do nothing about it. You accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Therefore, once you did that, you become accountable for your life, yourself. Us that are here in the body are here to be the salt, to lead, guide, and to direct you to certain paths, more than one, and to give you what the Word of God says concerning those paths. But you ultimately are the person that decides which path you're going to take. And so because you are the one that decides which path you're going to take, you're the only one that's going to stand before the Father on that day of judgment. And so what you need to understand, men, women, boys, and girls of God, that you come to God alone and you are judged by God alone. There's no one, there is no intermediary once you die. Jesus is the intermediary while you are living. He uses the Son of the Earth to help you make decisions that's going to make it favorable for you on the day of judgment. And you need to understand why you're here on this earth, men, women, boys, and girls, that that's really what life is all about. That's why when my grandchildren wanted to join church, they was going to get baptized. When they had been going to church with me ever since, you know, they was, you know, since they was in our arms. And they were living with me. So they, you know, I took them to church with my wife and I. They went to church with us. And so they saw people getting baptized, and they wanted to get baptized. And my wife came to me and said, baby, and she named out 200 kids, are they getting baptized next week? I said, no, they're not. She was like, what? I said, no, they're not. I need to understand that they understand what they're going to be doing when they get baptized. And so she was kind of salty at the time because, you know, it was a joyful thing, and she maybe just didn't see it the way that I did at the time. But I recognized something, that I'm going to be held accountable. But I was a deacon then. I wasn't preaching, but I was teaching. And so I guess I was preaching. You know, this is how you look at it. But as the man, the father figure in my home, God was going to hold me accountable if they prematurely did something until, you know, once they understood it was on them. But until then, it was on me. And so they were, you know, young. They were old enough to know, but I asked them a few questions, and they didn't know why they was really getting baptized. They didn't understand the fullness of baptism. They didn't understand the sacrifice of Christ. It was some stuff they needed to know if they was going to be dunked in the water. And so I was so wonderfully made when they did get baptized. I was able to baptize two of them myself, you know, the sister pastor. But it was so wonderful because they was ready. And they were upset or disappointed at first. But it was so wonderful that when they got baptized, because of what I had did with them, they start talking with their father. And their father got baptized with them.
Now that I do.
And you talking about a grown man crying, that was me. Because not knowing, that's just by being the light, just by being the salt, and by telling and sticking to the truth. The father was baptized with the son and with the daughter. And as we were sharing in the scripture, because I'm going to finish reading it, then we're going to read it out of the Amplified. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, you need to understand, there's folks out there that want to cut your throat. They want to kill you. Because they are of the enemy. They are of the darkness. And the darkness and the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, that those same two verses in the Amplified are going to cause you to bless God. It says, so then we may no longer be children, tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery in inventing errors to mislead. Yeah, people, you know those people that always want to talk about the Bible says, but they really don't understand what the Bible really is saying. They just want to talk about what the Bible says because that's what they think they know because they heard it from somebody else. Right, that's those jokers. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. Instead of being tossed to and fro with every changing wind of doctrine, every time somebody deal with something that seems popular or seems trendy, now all of a sudden this is how the church is rolling. Oh, this is the new move of God. No, it ain't. It's just this person trying to get your money. Instead of that, why don't we go to God ourselves? Why don't we study? See, God made it so that instead of just the preacher, you are capable. The Bible is available, and now if you take your capability and the Bible's availability and put those two things together, guess what? You've got somebody who is knowledgeable in the Word. You've become enlightened, and thereby are equipped now to be the salt of the earth. Just because you're not an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, doesn't mean you can't be equipped with what is necessary for you to preserve this earth realm. I tell you the truth, God does not want us walking around here every time somebody says something, we're supposed to be okay with it. No, the Bible says try the spirits whether they be of God. So there you go. You try the spirits whether they be of God, whether they speak, whether they testify of Jesus Christ, which is what the Bible does, or whether they testify of themselves, which is what diviners and those who want to trick you into believing that they're prophets and apostles and all these others, this is what they do. If it's not based in the Word of God, able to be understood, don't be so quick to believe it. Don't be so quick to believe it. We are to live our lives the way God wants us to live our lives, in the truth of his word.
Amen. As we got so much more, just this last one, love, we've been talking about love. Love is basically the key to what we're talking about. And what God has done is he ordained family. He ordained the family to be the representation of his love on the earth. Hallelujah. I mean, how many of you, I always share with people say they love their grandma. Oh, man, they just love their grandma. All the movies we see, you very seldom see, unless it's some kind of horror movie, a bad grandma. Might be a bad granddad, but you don't see to me, bad grandma. But what's behind a good grandma is a good granddad. Y'all need to understand that.
Hallelujah.
A good granddad and laid some foundation and put some stuff out there so grandma could be who she need to be. I'm saying that to say this. A good father learns from his father. And we've had so much misfortune in the United States, especially, that and particularly in the African American community, where we haven't had fathers. We haven't had physical fathers in the home. And so because we haven't had physical fathers, we've got generations of men that don't understand the fathering system. And because they don't understand the fathering system, they have to learn fathering from wherever they get it. And so they learn them from pimps and players and uncles and they learn it. You know, sometimes they're running into some good folks that's teaching. They got some good pastors and some good deacons and some good teachers, men and women, men and some good women that raised I was raised by my mom. You know, she was the governing force in my life. And yeah, I had a father and a stepfather that were great, and they were in my life sparingly. But my stepfather was in my life, but there wasn't a stability all the way through my life, and so I had to struggle with some stuff. And so, but I was blessed. I still was blessed because I had great teachers. You know, I spoke of in one podcast of a man that I admire that instilled the strength in me through, he was a teacher. He taught ROTC. And one of the things that he taught was that I learned was from a manual on leadership. But he forced me through his wanting me to be the best that I could be. He forced me to understand and to learn these concepts so that it did lead, guide, and direct my path to staying close to the light. And but in marriage or in love, we every week talk about the harmonious marriage prayer. And we've got other prayers, but that prayer is a constant with us because we've had so many in the body of Christ, especially. We've not had a great success in our marriages. Matter of fact, we're worse than the world. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The everlasting life, and he wants us to have life and with more abundance here on the earth while we're here. And we're not having that because we're not using the things that he left on the earth to edify ourselves and to put ourselves in a position to understand all of the things that he has left for us. And so we end up doing things wrong. But I say unto you, even those of you that are not, I don't use the word single, but are unmarried, but that to say that if you are in the body and the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, which is the kingdom of God, that you are married because you are the bride. You are married to the chief apostle. You're married to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Hosts, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. He is the groom, and we are the bride. And whether you're married or unmarried in the physical, we are married to Christ. And so when we read this, speak of the harmonious marriage prayer, it applies to the unmarried physically and the physically married because it's of the apostolic and prophetic, and it also is of the natural, amen? Yeah. And so as we come to a close, and before we open up the line, we're going to pray this harmonious marriage prayer, amen? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in your word that your love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given to us. Because you are in us, we acknowledge that love reigns supreme. Father, we believe that love
is displayed in full expression, enfolding and knitting us together in truth, making us perfect for every good work to do your will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight. Father, we, as we live and conduct our marriage of the apostolic and of the prophetic, but especially of the natural, O God, honorably and becomingly, O God, we esteem it as precious, worthy, and of great price. Father, we commit ourselves to live in mutual harmony and accord with one another, delighting in each other, being of the same mind and united in spirit. Father, we believe and say that we are gentle. Father, we believe and say that we are compassionate. Father, we believe and say that we are courteous. Father, we believe and say that we are tender-hearted and humble-minded. Father, we seek peace, and it keeps our hearts in quietness and assurance. Because we follow after love and dwell in peace, our prayers are not hindered in any way. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, we commune the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit and the good, acceptable, and perfect will of you as the great I am. Father, our marriage of the apostolic and of the prophetic, but again, especially of the natural, God, grows naturally, grows stronger, day by day by day, day by day by day, in the bond of unity, because it is founded on your word and rooted and grounded in your love. We decree this day, I say we decree this day, Father, we decree this day. We have a marriage of the apostolic and of the prophetic, but especially again, O Father, of the natural, which is made in heaven. Father, we thank you for the performance of it. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the blood of Jesus, the sweet communion, power, and anointing of your Holy Spirit, and the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of you as the great I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We thank you for being with us on today, and we just share a few of the weapons of warfare, being light, salt, truth, and then love.
We got some more coming.
And we do have, there's many other weapons, but we focused on those weapons. And that harmonious marriage prayer is always founded by different scriptures, Romans 5 and 5, Philippians 1 and 9, Colossians 3 and 14, Colossians 1 and 10, Philippians 2 and 13, Philippians 2 and 2, Ephesians 4 and 32, Isaiah 32 and 17, Philippians 4 and 7, 1 Peter 3 and 7, Ephesians 3, 13 and 17, and Jeremiah 1 and 12. Now we're going to have Prophet Corey, he's going to close us out in prayer after we open up the lines. So we pray that you're still there, and the lines are now open. Hallelujah. Amen. Really looking forward to hearing from you on tonight. As I said, this is like 1 year. And so we pray that you had a wonderful time with us on tonight, but we truly enjoy being with you. We're going to wait about 15 more seconds, and if we don't hear anything, then we're going to go ahead and we're going to close out in prayer. We're going to invite you to join Christ, and then we're going to close out in prayer and just thank you for being who you are.
Amen, amen, amen.
for those who are still there, I want to make this invitation. You have heard that Jesus has said that you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. If you are a believer. Well, the way to become the salt of the earth and the light of the world is to become a believer. My daughter, in her comedic way, likes to say she's a believer, or she believes God. She believes in God and Jesus Christ, but she's not a Christian because she don't like labels. I understand her comedic intention, but I want her to. But I did explain to her that being a believer, being a Christian in this day and time is synonymous. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you tend to start acting like Jesus Christ, which then is why they call you a Christian. So I want to invite you now to believe on Jesus Christ. The Bible says that everyone who confesses that the name of Jesus Christ will be saved, or believes on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. So I'm going to ask you now, to pray this prayer with me. And those who pray this prayer with me, this is your acceptance of the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that you believe in him, which will then cause you to become in this instance, a Christian. Okay. I want you to say this with me, because Jesus Christ died for you to be forgiven by God of the sins that you have committed in your past. Now, I want you to hear this before I start this prayer. And so, in praying this prayer, you are now ending your relationship with sin and beginning your relationship with Jesus. Say this with me. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. I believe that he is your son. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. I believe that he was resurrected for me. I believe that my sins are forgiven because of this confession of my faith. I believe that my life will begin again. I am no longer in the custody of the devil. I now belong to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for forgiving my sin and cleansing me of unrighteousness. In Jesus' name. If you have prayed that prayer with me, I only have one word for it. Well, we only have one word for it. Hallelujah! Heaven is smiling because the angels are throwing a party because of the fact that if you have prayed that prayer with us, you are now saved. And because you are now saved, heaven recognizes who you are. God recognizes who you are as his child, son or daughter. And he is ready to commune with you or to have a relationship with you. Thank you. If you want more information regarding a church home or some literature, or if you don't have a Bible, why don't you go on to Kingdom Builders, Plaza.org or Kingdom go on KingdomBuildersPlaza.org and send them a message and let them know that you have just received Christ on the Warfare Hour and that you need a Bible. And if you need information about a church home in your area, trust me, they know a lot of places, but so do we. So contact them. Again, KingdomBuildersPlaza.org. Or KingdomBuildersPlaza@yahoo.com. Email them. email, you know, send us a message. You can contact Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson. That's Carlton with a K and two N's at
yahoo.com.
You can contact Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry at KA Ministry and the number one at gmail.com. You can get us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Carlton Earl Clark Richardson. You can go get us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry. Come on and email us. Come on and post something on our walls. Let us know how you've been enjoying this podcast in the entire year that it's been in full function. And we just want to thank you tonight. We want to thank God again for Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters, Prophetess Teresa, Evangelist Hannah, and the intercessors.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you, Lord, for them. Matter of fact, let's just go into prayer and just go and close it out. Father, we thank you for Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders. We thank you for Prophetess Teresa, Evangelist Hannah. We thank you for Warriors for Christ, House of Prayer Church International Ministry. We thank you for Apostle Leonard Emmons.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Living Way Christian Center. We thank you, Lord, for the establishment of Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry. We thank you for and God, we just ask you to bless those who have been a blessing to us. We thank you for this. Thank you for them recognizing who you are. We ask now that as we move forward, you continue to establish us, that we may continue to lay foundation for your word, Lord Jesus Christ, that your kingdom may be advanced, your kingdom may be erected to your glory and not to our own. We don't want to operate in Babel. We want to operate in the kingdom of God. So, God, we ask now that you continue to move us forward into every promotion, into every favorable situation, into every open door. And we ask now, God, that everybody who is listening to this podcast, or whether it be on the internet or on the telephone, God, we ask now that you continue to move in their lives, that you bless them and move them forward in promotion and favor, that they would experience who you are in their lives, both now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you for being with us on today. And God bless you and God keep you. Good night.